Hey, you're listening to World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. Today on the show, it's Layla McCalla. Her third solo album is called The Capitalist Blues.
You keep telling me to climb this ladder. I've got to pay my dues.
As you might guess from the title, a lot of Layla's album addresses injustice and inequality, especially when it comes to money.
We're living in a time where people are, you know, funding their chemotherapy with GoFundMe. That's not normal.
Layla sings about heavy topics in her lyrics, but she sets them to danceable music. And in doing that, Layla's drawing on both the troubadour tradition of her Haitian roots and the sounds of her adopted home in New Orleans.
A lot of the Cajun and Zydeco music, it's like, oh, I'm going to jail for 100 years, but we're waltzing to jail.
Layla's here to perform songs from her album, The Capitalist Blues, and here we go. Layla McCalla, welcome to World Cafe.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, we're really happy to have you. So the first song we're going to hear you play for us is Money is King. Before we hear it, can you tell me a little bit about the song and who, I know this is a cover, so tell us who wrote this song.
This song was written by a calypso singer from Trinidad named The Growling Tiger. And the first time I heard it, I was actually gifted a compilation of his music by Dom Flemons, my former Carolina Chocolate Drop bandmate. And I just fell in love with the record. And as soon as I heard this song, the first thought that I had was, I want to sing that song one day. It fits with the theme of capitalist blues.
It definitely does. We're going to hear you sing the lyric Coco Bay. Can you explain what that is?
I guess that means lizard skin. I think that's a euphemism for leprosy.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I think the song is talking about how society views you favorably if you have money.
Exactly, yeah.
And forgives all of your, defaults.
Man. Okay, well, let's hear it. This is Layla McCalla live at World Cafe.
If a man has money today, people don't care if he has Coco Bay. If a man has money today, people don't care if he has Coco Bay. He can commit murder and get off free. Live in the governor's company. But if you are poor, people tell you, shoo, a dog is better than you. To take down anything, whiskey, cloth, earring, and diamond ring. Send it to your home on a motorbike. You can pay the bill whenever you'd like. Yet not a soul will ask you a thing. They know very well that money is king. A dog can walk about. Take a bone, foul head, stale bread, fish tail and pone. If it's a good breed and not too wild, people will take it in mind as a child. But when a hungry man goes out to beg, they send a bulldog behind his leg. 20 policemen will take him down too. You see how a dog is better.
McKellar and her band live at World Cafe. Her latest album is called Capitalist Blues. That was a cover of the song Money is King. And that was a very fun song about a very dehumanizing issue. So why did I want to dance while you were playing that song? Like, tell me a little bit about the musical treatment of the subject matter on
well,
this album.
My family's from Haiti, and so, you know, I'm coming from sort of a Pan-Caribbean perspective. But I think that a lot of the music that I have been digging into over the past few years, a lot of it is talking about very heavy, weighty issues with dance. You know, I've studied a type of music from Haiti called troubadour music, and a lot of the songs talk about very intense political and social issues, but there's always dance as a part of it. You know, the same thing with Louisiana music, where I live. I'm moved to New Orleans in 2010, and a lot of the Cajun and Zydeco music, it's like, oh, I'm going to jail for 100 years, but we're waltzing to jail. So, I think that that's part of the tradition in the music, you know?
Do you know, I mean, I think I know some reasons why that might be, but in your research or in digging into the Haitian history of your family, did you learn anything about why dance and sort of spirit, I guess, feels like a good companion for weighty issues?
Yeah, I mean, I think spirit has enabled, you know, people to get through all these painful times, you know, and these years and years of oppression, you know, slavery and then dictatorships and then colonization. I think all of that is a part of it.
Yeah, I was reading up just a tiny bit to refresh myself on Haitian history before sitting down and talking to you about this, and was reminded of the fact that in Haiti, there was the first, like, really, really successful slave revolution where former slaves, like, overtook the colony in the late 1700s. And I was thinking about mm-hmm. the kind of power that you have as a person when you know that to be part of your history. I guess tell me about how that history feels like it's a part of you.
Well, I think that it's been a big part of my sort of conceptualization and has really changed my worldview. You know, the more I kind of learn about the Haitian Revolution and the power of being the first free, independent Black nation, the more I kind of understand why it's so difficult for us to talk about slavery and race in this country in particular, but really in all of the colonies, you know? We want to feel like that history is really in the past, when really it's directly related to the socioeconomic reality of today and the politics of today. And so I guess that's how it's related to me, you know? You know, I grew up in suburban New Jersey to Haitian immigrant parents. But, you know, I always kind of felt caught between these two cultures. And so I think my music and my research just on this history is sort of always reaching to reconcile those two realities, those two parts of myself, you know, the parts of myself that feel Haitian and the parts of myself that are not Haitian, and try to understand how those things coexist. And what I've realized is that those things coexist because I exist, because, you know, my daughter exists and because my parents exist.
Your parents were both social activists, I think, right?
Both human rights activists, yeah.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit more about what they did or what you saw growing up?
Sure. My father was the executive director of an organization called the National Coalition for Haitian Rights for about 20 years. And, you know, he did a lot of organizing around issues of injustice for Haitian immigrants in the United States and also for Haitians in Haiti. And my mother has a legal background, but is one of the founders of an organization called Droit Femmes, which means the rights of women, and it's a Haitian women's rights organization. And so I guess I just grew up with these things as a part of my conversation about what it means to be a citizen in this world.
I guess when you grow up with parents for whom human rights are a part of everyday conversation, like where that is just baked into the fabric of who you are, it's inevitable that that would color everything you do. And I'm imagining, like, with the album that you've made called Capitalist Blues, and with any of the music that you've made over your career, that people ask you, you know, about the decision to be a political artist or the decision to write protest songs. But what it's sounding to me like is that you're making the music that is in you, and it sounds like that's just that's what it is. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Well, I think it's, absolutely. I mean, I think it's also, everyone's making a political statement, you know, whether you're aware of this political statement that you're making or not is another issue. I think that it's impossible to be apolitical. I'm certainly inspired to make music by thinking about our society and the ways in which, we are unfair, and why that continues.
Well, that leads us to a song called Capitalist Blues that is the title track of your album. This is Layla McCalla live at World Cafe. Performing the title track from her latest record, that's Capitalist Blues, that's Layla McCalla and her band here at World Cafe. There are lots of ways that a capitalist system sets up inequality and injustice for people, and I want to talk about some of them with you. First, maybe we can talk a bit about how you have seen or understood race to play a part in the way that capitalism operates.
You know, it's so funny because everyone, I've been playing this song, Capitalist Blues, and, you know, that's the title of my record. And it's been interesting. The people that seem the most sort of, I've had a few fans on my Facebook just be like, you know, if this is going to be another capitalist, socialist, you know, statement, I'm out of here, and get really offended. And it's been interesting. All the people who have said that to me have been white men. And so I feel that, you know, it's impossible to not acknowledge that the capitalist system has benefited white men the most. And it has hurt, I think, on the large scale, people of color, you know? I mean, starting with slavery, which was based on where, you know, the slaves were the capital. What is happening is that we have, like, gross inequality, where a small number of people really benefit from this system. And so those people are fine to say, you know, there's no other better system, you know, for our society. But that's not true for everybody.
Hmm.
I mean, we're living in a time where people are, you know, funding their chemotherapy with GoFundMe. That's not normal.
That is a really stark and poignant way to put it. You deal, I guess, with health and capitalism and social systems on the album on a song that you're not playing for us live today, but that I'd love to talk about while we're on the subject, and it's the song Heavy as Lead. So I want to play an excerpt of the song, but first, can you tell me a little bit about writing this one?
Sure. This song literally came down from the gods and hit me on the head like a ton of bricks. I wrote it in a moment of extreme frustration and sadness, and I felt physically heavy. My daughter had just found out that her levels of lead in her blood were elevated, and it was a very dark moment figuring out how to navigate the healthcare system and, you know, to rectify the situation. And so all the words kind of hit me at once. And I'm really grateful that my husband and I had the resources to rectify the situation, to afford the renovations that we needed to make on our house, to make our house safe for our daughter. But I really wrote this song thinking about other parents across the United States, and especially in Flint, Michigan, where literally nothing has been done to rectify the situation there, which I feel is like infrastructural, you know, injustice.
Yeah, let's play some of the song here.
This old house might swallow. Begins with our family, and soon it comes round to our soul. We're trying to grab hold of what we can't control. Always living.
So this is Heavy as Lead, Layla McCalla, from her latest album. It's called Capitalist Blues. How did you know to get your kid tested for this stuff? Like, is this something that regularly happens? I'm not a parent. Is this stuff that regularly happens at the doctor?
I'm not sure if it's across the country, but in New Orleans, after a child turns a year old, they're supposed to be tested for lead poisoning.
Mm.
And what really is astounding is that, you know, this issue touched my family, but it has also touched basically all of my friends' kids have also come back with elevated lead levels. And you can look up like a lead map of New Orleans. And I think that there's like pre-Katrina maps and post-Katrina maps. And basically what the flood did was kind of swooshed around all of this old chipping paint and brought it all to the surface and moved it around. And then people are renovating their houses and oftentimes doing so without the right methodology, you know, of renovating their houses in a safe way. Because if you're just sanding the side of your house, that means tiny lead chips are flying in the wind and who knows where they're going, you know? So it's really a systemic issue. And I think it affects a lot of communities that have old housing and old infrastructure.
Layla McCalla is my guest here on World Cafe, and Capitalist Blues is the title of her latest album. Can we talk a little bit about your own journey from being the daughter of Haitian immigrants living in New York to choosing to move to New Orleans? And I guess what you learned about yourself or how your life changed in that process?
Absolutely. Oh, my God, my life changed so much in that process. I left New York in 2010 for New Orleans. I felt like New Orleans was closer to, you know, my Haitian roots, and I really liked that. It was interesting because I really enjoyed playing traditional jazz, and that's how I started playing the banjo, was playing New Orleans trad jazz. And you know, back in the day, the banjo was the rhythm instrument in a brass band before there were drums. And so I loved the idea of playing banjo and being a rhythm instrument. And then I subsequently discovered this incredibly rich banjo tradition in Haiti through Haitian troubadour music. And I felt like, oh, that's why I'm playing the banjo. That's definitely why I'm playing the banjo.
Wow.
It's not necessarily to play jazz. It's to find this music. And a lot of the songs in that particular style of music talk about, you know, social issues and political issues and use metaphor. And so, you know, I started learning more about, I had always heard about the Creole language, you know, but I started to identify what it means to have a Creole identity. And so, you know, all of these things have become a big part of my music. And, you know, New Orleans taught me so much about traditional music. I was playing old-time music. That's how I started touring with the Carolina Chocolate Drops, which I did for about 2.5 years. And then, you know, launching into my own solo repertoire. There's so much to learn, and so I feel like I'm on a lifelong journey of learning about myself through learning about this history and this culture.
The last song that we're going to hear you do for us is sung in Haitian Creole. So can you tell me a little bit about the language?
Sure. Haitian Creole is a language that is a combination of French, Spanish, English, and African languages. And so I wrote this song called Mise à pas douce because I was doing a lot of research about Haitian folk music and Haitian folk songs, and I came around this title so many times, Mise à pas douce. There's so many songs called Mise à pas douce, which in Creole means misery is not sweet. But it also is kind of a double entendre because misery can also mean poverty. It's actually my first song that I've written that's all original Creole lyrics. A lot of my Haitian songs are, you know, interpretations of other songs that I've heard. And that's what was born. I was in the studio actually writing it and on the phone with my dad asking him for help. to helping me to figure out how to say what I wanted to say in Creole.
That's so sweet. You've called, you said somewhere that Creole is the language of resistance. Can you explain more about that before we hear the song?
Well, you know, Creole is a language that developed in colonial times during slavery, and it's a language that slaves used to communicate amongst themselves. And so, you know, it was never a language that was meant to be spoken by colonial powers. And so for that, I feel like it is definitely a language of resistance. And I think that that's really part of the Haitian spirit and part of our ingenuity as a people.
Mm. Well, let's hear the song. Here we go. Misapadouce by Leila McCalla here at World Cafe. Thank you for performing it for us. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Leila McCalla's latest album is called Capitalist Blues, and this is World Cafe.